Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Well, well, well. Look who's back in the host chair. Yes, it's me, Stuart Watson. You thought it was for one time only, but no. The people have spoken. And, Andy Warren, I'm back by popular demand. What were the results?
So smug. Look at him. Look at his little face back with 44% of the population behind him. It's gone right to his head.
When you say population, how many votes were cast?
400 odd votes. So what percentage is that? 44. Very good.
I'll take it. I think there was a stage where Ross was leading that poll that you put out earlier this week. He went a little white when I told him that there was a chance he was in charge for this one. I don't know why, Ross. You host all these other podcasts on Ipswich Women and Fans Social, but I would have quite liked to see you in charge today.
I've done it once for the main pod, and I thought it went okay, but I don't know. It's just extra pressure. I have to be more professional. On the other pods, I still have to be professional. I can't say, you know, naughty words and all that stuff, but I feel like I need to just do that extra professional. I think it's probably best for you guys to be in the host chair, really.
Professionalism is, and that is what I want, as David Brent would say. Let's start really professionally and get straight into it, shall we? Should we talk some football? Should we talk some Ipswich Town? That's what we're here for. And we've got something to discuss today, because this morning some news broke very early on from Football Insider that Ipswich Town are closing in on the loan addition of Bristol City midfielder Tyreek Bakinson, not quite sure on the pronunciation of the surname yet. Andy, you look like you
might know. I'm going to go Bakinson. I think this is one that's going to run and run. My cat's just arrived. He's excited. I'm going to nail my colours to the Bakinson mast early on, and that's probably all I can really offer about this new midfielder, if I'm completely honest, because I've never seen him play.
No, me neither, but I can give you a sort of a brief outline for those listening of who he is and what he might be all about. He's 23 years of age. He's born in London, came through the youth ranks at Luton and was very quickly snapped up by Bristol City in 2017. In the first summer of Mark Ashton being chief executive there. So he was a very early Mark Ashton signing. At Ashton Gate.
He's disgraced himself there, hasn't he?
So yes. For those of you just listening on audio, Andy's cat has just entered the screen and presented himself. I'll let you fill in the rest using your imagination.
Yeah, let's move on.
Okay. It's really quite off-putting. He has disgraced himself quite badly there. Yes.
I'm going to move him on. I'm going to get rid of him.
Boot him out the room physically. Okay. Ross, I'm going to throw to you while Andy deals with his cat problem. I'll continue with a bit of Tyreek Bakinson background. Move to Bristol City, as I say, under Ashton. Couple of loan spells in League Two with Newport first when they finished seventh in the playoffs, got to the final. They finished seventh, made the playoff final. He was a regular that season for Newport. The following season, he went to Plymouth in the second half of the season that time and was part of that Plymouth side that finished third and got promoted in the COVID suspended season. And then he breaks into the Bristol City team the following season after. And he's kind of been in and out of the Bristol City team over the last 18 months. He made 20 championship starts last season, scored 4 goals, and he's made 10 championship starts this season. He scored once. He scored the winner against Stoke. That was during a spell of 7 straight starts between October and December. But he finds himself down the pecking order there. They've got players, experienced midfielders like Andy King, and Matty James vying for those positions. So it seems like Nigel Pearson is allowing him to go out on loan. And of course, I guess Ipswich is a bit of a natural fit with the Ashton link. But the big question is, do Ipswich Town need a central midfielder? Where do we see him fitting in? I think when we've had discussions about the squad, central midfield was probably bottom of the list, wasn't it, when we were talking about areas to strengthen?
I'd say so. We'll get on to what it could mean for the rest of the squad in a moment. But on the face of things, where does he fit in? He sounds like he could maybe be he could play either of those roles potentially. Maybe more of the Evans deeper. I don't know. Could that mean that Lee Evans is able to drop in to be a makeshift centre half in the middle of a back three? Don't know. What system is McKenna looking to use? Don't really know. He's gone with the three and then the midfield two at the moment. So it's an interesting one. It raises a lot more questions than answers for me, this one. It's one that I'd like to just see how it plays out when it does eventually go through, because I honestly, it just leaves me with so many questions, really.
Ross?
Just unmuting myself because, as you told me off last week or this week. He's a big boy, though, isn't he? 6'3". So it seems like he's going to be that destroyer in that midfielder. So he may bring us something different in that midfield, because I feel, you know, Rakeem Harpway is a bit lightweight. You know, other options there, Lee Evans, Sam Morsey, they are destroyers as well. But, yeah, maybe adds something different in that midfield. So, yeah, we'll see.
It's interesting you mentioned Harper. This doesn't reflect particularly well on him and his start to life at Ipswich Town, because they seem similar sorts of midfielders from what I've read and seen thus far. He's a sort of a deep-lying midfielder who's, despite his size, it seems like he's more of an interceptor than a sort of a destroyer. Likes to play forward, can carry the ball up the pitch, has got a good shot from long range. Those are all the things that have been attributed to him. He himself has described himself as athletic and positive and likes to play. Those were kind of a lot of the qualities that were sold to us from the Rakeem Harper perspective, weren't they, when they signed him back in the summer. Comes from a similar background. Obviously, he came from a Premier League club in West Brom, but had played a bit of Championship football and ultimately has dropped down. Don't know really where that leaves him. I don't really know where it leaves some of the other central midfielders. I guess now that makes a John Nolan exit all the more likely. Haven't seen him for the best part of a year, injured. He's coming to the end of his contract. You would imagine his time is coming up, whether they can sort that out this month or not. Idris El Mazzouni probably makes a loan spell for him, more likely, doesn't it? Tom Carroll is another one who's coming to the end of his contract in the summer. Where does that leave him? But you're right, Backinson, if we're going to go with Backinson.
You go with what you want. You go your own way.
I might just interchange until we know the answer. But where he fits is going to be interesting. I think maybe more of a competition for Lee Evans would be my gut instinct. Whether Kieran McKenna suddenly might see him as someone who's capable of playing in a back three, you know, with midfield qualities to be able to play the ball out from the back. He's a good size. I don't know. We'll have to see.
A bit Trevor Chalabari, maybe, in that sense?
Yeah, he seems to be able, the clips I've seen, he seems to be able to sort of take the ball off the back three and play on the half turn and play forward. So that's just a thought. We were speaking to McKenna later. We're recording this sort of mid-morning on Thursday. Sorry, the McKenna press conference is tomorrow on Friday. So we'll find out a little bit more about his thoughts on that. He might not want to talk about him at all until the deal's done. But it sounds like it's pretty advanced. It's an intriguing one, isn't it? Any more thoughts on Tyreek Backinson, gentlemen?
Just Harper's the one that this is the questions about. Like you say, the quality is so similar. We haven't seen Rakeem Harper play a Premier League a league game for Ipswich since the start of November. I know he's had COVID in there somewhere, but for me, this raises a lot of questions about him. This is more competition for him. Another like Harper's, as you say, he played in the Premier League for West Brom last season, and then played 18 games in the Championship. He hasn't come to League One to not make benches. So, like, does he want to move on? It's not impossible, is it? And clearly the managers haven't seen enough to play him either. And having another body with similar attributes, obviously ahead of him, he's going to come in ahead of him in the pecking order, isn't he? It just raises an awful lot of questions about him for me, because he's never found his feet, really.
I did a video and a written article this week, the video with Ross talking about players that could leave this month. That was before the Backinson news broke. I included 9 players on there, and I didn't include Rakeem Harper because I just thought of his age, the length of his contract, the money they'd spent on him. I just thought it would be really difficult to kind of move him now. But this just puts a little bit of doubt into my mind about him. You'd be wiping your mouth on a bit of a financial hit, I think, if you were to move him on. I think he cost a decent fee, probably somewhere in the region of, can't remember where we pegged it at, about $500,000, I think, in the end last summer, probably with some additional bits and pieces on top of that. I don't know. Or is there a way that you can sort of loan him out and then reintegrate him further down the line? But at what sort of level you can do that now, and what he wants to do, I really don't know.
Yeah, I think Ipswich have got trouble generally in terms of loans, because they're a League One club. But see, in so many ways, so many of their players would see themselves as championship footballers. Like even someone like Idris Elbazouni, like there's such a limited pool. They're 11th in League One as well. And there's obviously not going to be a willingness to loan these players up. Idris has had League Two loans, hasn't he? He's done Cambridge there. He's done Grimsby there. He needs to play League One football, Idris. But so few clubs to do it. Rakeem Harper doesn't need to be going to play League Two football. He played in the Premier League last season. So where does he go? Ipswich are in a tough position for loans in general, I think, at the moment, for players kind of across the board.
Yeah, I guess there's the next question is this a Kieran McKenna signing or is this a Mark Ashton signing? And are both on the same page with this? We talked about the Ashton obvious connection with Bristol City when just worth revisiting some quotes from Kieran McKenna earlier this month when he was asked about the speed of business and how quickly that might happen. He said the club like to do the work early and they've been working on some players over the last few months. So it suggests that when he arrived, there were deals, you know, the wheels were already in motion, and you would imagine this is one of those deals. Now, you would hope that Kieran McKenna gets to give the green light and rubber stamp these and say yay or nay to them. But how do you feel about that being sort of the process?
When you see a player that has got connections with Mark Ashton, you straight away go, he's on his dashboard. He's wanting that sort of player to come in. He knows his character. He knows in and out because he's, you know, probably dealt with his agent and, you know, they had to meet when they first signed. But it's a bit of a... I know a lot of fans are a bit right about that. He's saying, is he going to be a Mark Ashton signing and then a McKenna signing? But I'm sure McKenna will give the green light saying, yeah, he will be a good player for this squad. But it's a bit concerning if, you know, for fans seeing that it's connection with Mark Ashton, Bristol City, whatever clubs he's been at, that's been the sort of trend we've seen with our players. Like Rakeem Harper, he was at West Brom when Mark Ashton was there, or Mark Ashton's connection there. So, yeah, we think we're going to see this trend a lot, I think.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't worry me. Sorry, mate. It doesn't really worry. I feel absolutely certain that McKenna's rubber stamping these. I think Mark Ashton said at the very beginning that the manager will always have the final say on these, but I'm sure it came from the Mark Ashton side of things. Clearly, he knows him. But I feel absolutely certain that the manager would have stamped this one.
I think it's always important that when a player signs that we reserve judgment and just wait and see. We're talking about Harper quite a lot there. He was someone that everyone was really excited by, probably based on just a few clips and his career on paper back in the summer. That's not worked out. Sonny Aluko is someone that everybody scratched their head at. You know, we don't need a player in his position. Why have we signed him? And now look what he's been doing in the last few weeks. So sometimes you just have to wait and see. Maybe he could be a missing piece to the jigsaw Backinson, and that there's a master plan for him that will allow Ipswich to play a different way. Maybe he'll allow him to play a completely different formation. We don't know. Kieran McKenna might not necessarily want to play this 3-4 3 system, and he's just adapted to the personnel at his disposal. And Backinson might sort of unlock the door to some different ways of playing. Well, we'll have to wait and see, won't we? But intrigued to see how this one pans out, definitely. What he does do at the age of 23 is immediately fill that last remaining slot in the 22-man senior squad, which was vacated by Toto Ensiala. So if they want to bring in anyone over the age of 21 this window, then somebody else has to move on. But there's some candidates there, isn't there? I've mentioned Nolan, and there's some others as well. So I'm sure there'll be more business to come before the end of this month. Do you, both ins and outs? Do you get that sense?
At least one of each, I'd have thought. Like you say, there's candidates. You've had 9 of them there. There's Miles Kenlock. John Nolan would be an obvious candidate to drop out of the squad, even if he doesn't depart the club. There's plenty of it's even like Scott Fraser. He is again not involved. There's plenty you could move on, and I'm sure there'll be at least one more arriving after this.
Yeah, one deal that has been done this week, finally, after a couple of days waiting, was Christian Walton. Obviously, we didn't know going into the last game whether that would be his final goodbye, with Brighton having triggered the recall option. But the deal is done, and Ipswich Town have got their man. We talked quite a lot about Christian in the last podcast, Andy, but just talk us through the terms of the deal, the length of contract and everything.
Oh, it's felt like this one's been done since Monday. It certainly dragged on. I think there were a few paperwork issues from potentially the Brighton end that held that one up. But yeah, it's a permanent deal, obviously. 2024, the contract, so initially 2.5 years, an option in there to extend that as well, a fairly standard contract. But one that takes a 26-year-old potentially to being a 30-year-old, which is some great years of a goalkeeper. He's one that I really like. I feel like he's one that can move up and through the leagues with Ipswich potentially, which is obviously what the club are trying to do. And they've kind of moved for him at the right time. He had 6 months left on his Brighton deal, a small, kind of very low-end six-figure fee, I understand, paid there to facilitate that one happening. Ipswich have done really well to get him, haven't they? I think Luton and Cardiff showed a bit of interest. He undoubtedly could have I do not doubt he could have earned more in the summer had he held on to then. But he's liked it at Ipswich. He likes Kieran McKenna. He likes Rennie Gilmartin, and it's all combined to. For him to take, let's be real, a pretty sizable drop on a Premier League salary to sign into League One, but he won't want to be in League One very long, and he's seen enough to know that to feel anyway that Ipswich can take him back to where he wants to be.
Yeah, really enjoyed your comment piece on that this week, Andy, talking about sort of that. Thanks, being a mate. Sign of you're welcome. How a sign of how things have changed at this football club. That, you know, in days gone by, we've been used to Ipswich not signing loan players, and I think Ross touched upon this earlier in the week that certainly the good ones, if they were good, then we just, you know, it was a case of enjoy them while we can. And, you know, in the Championship, people like Ryan Fraser, Tom Lawrence, and Selina, I guess at the time as well, there was just not worthy of a discussion as to whether Ipswich were going to sign them. You just accepted that they weren't able to. And as you've just touched upon there, Ipswich haven't really got any right to sign a player like Christian Walton, but the new ownership and the ambition behind it all has enabled them to do it. One you're excited about, Ross?
Very much so. I'm going to give praise to Andy as well for another piece that's on our website, the hits and misses of loan players.
Oh, thanks, mate.
You're welcome. Because, yeah, we've had a few of those in the last few years. You know, the big one is Emu Hughes, you know, an amazing loan spell. And then, of course, he's had injuries. And now he's at Colchester with the other army of ex-Town players. But, no, I think this is on a lot of fans' lips. They wanted Walton to sign permanently. We were a bit worried that the wave goodbye at Bolton was the goodbye. But thankfully, it's been sorted. It's confirmed. And that is a position now where, as you said, we're set now for the next few years, which is good to see.
Yeah, let's not curse him. We'll talk about some of the misses. M.A. Hughes, I think Jimmy Bullard, there was a huge clamour to sign him, wasn't he? And that didn't work out. I guess they'd be the two prime examples of players. I just remember the excitement both around Hughes and Bullard when both of those signed permanently. There was a real buzz about those two and it didn't work out. So hopefully sort of Walton can buck that trend and be a bit more, well, Daryl Murphy, David McGoldrick are sort of modern day examples of players that have done well after going from loan to permanent. J-Tab as well within that playoff team under Mick McCarthy. But he's done. He's in the building, which means we're now down to, what, two lone players as it stands prior to Backinson signing in just Bonn and Salina. So there's room to manoeuvre there. Obviously, Backinson will be alone as well, but if they wanted to get another loan or two on top of that, young ones that, as we said, would have to fall underneath that sort of 21 age gap, just to give a few options, that would be the route now that maybe McKenna has to go down. It's a market he'll know pretty well.
Yeah, there's Hayden Coulson in there as well, but he's obviously not in the picture really. But they can be almost like free hits, can't they? Those younger players. All that felt like what Louis Barry was, a free hit, talented young player, might contribute. If he doesn't, he's not taking up room in your squad. He's probably not taking up a huge wage, given the nature of the club that are loaning them out. Don't tend to ask for the big supplements for those younger players. So yeah, it wouldn't be a shock at all if they added a couple of free hit young sparks to the squad.
Good. Any other business on transfers, the sexy stuff, before we move on? Shaking your head, say the words. Go on.
It's not very sexy. Ross mentioned Colchester there. Can I just pose something here? Obviously, Colchester need a new manager now. Hayden Coulson's
Paul
gone.
Cook. You're going to say Paul Cook?
No, I'm going to say Paul Lambert.
Okay.
Wow.
Mm. He still lives in Ipswich. Do you think he'd fancy it? Obviously, Cook cannot go and manage that squad, given the makeup of it and what he's already done to their lives in the last few months. I don't think that would work. I also don't think Paul Cook would go to those depths. But would Paul Lambert fancy it?
Oh, now you've said it. It's I don't really know where sort of we've talked before about where Paul Lambert goes next. You never know.
Wouldn't it?
It would be quite fun. I don't know sort of what terms he sort of parted on with Chambers and co, but that should be more of a far more workable relationship than a Cook reunion, that's for sure.
Yeah, but I was going to say, it's definitely better terms than that.
It's not a bad shout, Andy. It's not a bad shout at all. I tell you what, another shout could be, Colchester really should be going for someone like Kieran Dyer.
Mm.
You know, and that, I'm sure he would have reservations about sort of going there, given the state that they're in at the moment and the budgetary constraints under Robbie Cowling. But wouldn't be a bad place for Kieran Dyer to cut his managerial teeth. Someone who's made no secret of his desire to get into the managerial game at some point. So they've obviously got Wayne Brown in as a... Has that been described as an interim or caretaker role so far? So they'll go for someone. I wonder even if Luke Chambers himself would throw his...
I think it's possible. I think he will
to the ring.
I think he's chucked his sombrero in, I'm sure. I'm sure of it. On the subject of sombrero, maybe Steve Evans would fancy that. Who knows? But yeah, Kieran Dyer would be a really interesting one. They should absolutely be interested in him. Of course they should. I kind of feel like he might have maybe fitted their model a bit better at post John McGreal when they were going with the younger players and he could really get his teeth into a coach. But he's someone they should absolutely be looking at. Whether he'd fancy it, I don't know. But
Make Dobber a key man straight away. Get Elmazumi in on loan.
Take Kenlock as well. I think of all these players that they've signed, Colchester, the one I genuinely think they should have taken is Miles Kenlock. the age, kind of some athleticism in there. I know, Ross, you would question the style of his athleticism, but I think he's...
League two is his standard.
He's fit. Would you accept that? But I think that's the actual Ipswich kind of cast off they should have been looking at.
I have been surprised that Miles has kind of not had a club for this long. Because as I think I said, I lose track of which pieces we've recorded. It might have been something I did with Ross. He's played more than 100 games for Ipswich Town. He played a fair amount in the Championship. He's I know he's not everybody's cup of tea. I know he's not your cup of tea, Ross, famously, but he's not going to take Ipswich Town in the direction they want to go. I think we're probably all on that page, but you know, I think he'd be a good solid addition for somebody, be it in this division or certainly in the division lower. So yeah, a little bit surprised he's kind of not moved on by now. Maybe he's another one this month that falls into that category of probably needs to move on and get himself some game time now, doesn't he? So there we go. That is the end of sexy stuff. Say the words so we officially know it's the end of sexy stuff. Any other business?
No other business.
Thank you.
So,
right. Because I have the power bestowed upon me this week to do whatever I want, I've taken it upon myself to bring back the mailbag. Andy, over to you.
Do you want me to sing? Is this what you want from me?
Yes.
mailbag. It's half the stew. Andy Ross to dip into the mailbag. We're back.
Cool, that's a throwback, isn't it? I don't know why mailbag just sort of faded away. It's just something that we stopped doing and it never returned. And I thought it was time to bring back a bit of audience participation. And so... here we go. Bit of mailbag for you. And I'm going to start with Shane Davey, who asks, which ground this season has the best press facilities and which is in the must-do-better category? Ross, I'll throw to you first. What any that jump off the page?
Sunderland is up there. Good food before the game. Sally Gillingham has to be must do better. There was no food, and of course it rained a lot, so there was not much cover for the fans as well. So they're the two ones that stand out so far. I'll think of some more. Plymouth was good.
Plymouth's my number one. Yeah. Plymouth's brilliant.
Yeah. Goodie bags.
I missed that one. What did you get at Plymouth?
So I went off for a little wander and discovered that there were like little goodie bags available in the press room, which included a hot pasty and some various other things, some crisps, bit of chocolate, drink. It's quite nice, almost like a media happy meal. But yeah, that was good. I was very popular that day. I returned with like four of them, particularly Marcus Stewart, who was doing a BBC Suffolk co-coms with Brenner that day. He could not have been happier with his little bag. So yeah, Plymouth, absolutely number one for me.
Marcus Stewart.
Most people too.
Marcus Stewart, who always turns up when he's doing his radio duties with a healthy amount of confectionery to kind of give out around the press box, a tub of celebrations or something like that. It's he'll come around scattering them.
This dumb, he forgot to bring a coat as well. He got there and was literally like, I forgot my coat. So it wasn't the warmest of day either. And this was the day that he forgot his sausage roll platter. So those goodie bags came in handy.
Good old Marcus Stewart, as Ross would gripe him. Ross, I'm going to throw my own question out to you. And this has been asked online before. What is the criteria to be good old X?
Well, I think how it's come about is... I think it's just when I feel like saying it, but also I think it's who I respect very much. I always say good old Stuart Watson because I respect you very well.
Thank you.
I think I've called Andy Warren good old Andy Warren a few times as well.
But you're a little bit of doubt in your voice there.
By accident, yeah.
Okay. That's when I felt it. But it comes out here and there. It doesn't come out that often on, you know, other videos. But yeah, just whenever I feel like it. Just
comes out. The Minogue vibe, as I call it.
Good.
Moving on. Nigel G. Andy, over to you.
Well, when are we bringing that back as well?
Yes. This is a nostalgia trip for everybody.
Didn't agree to this.
Do as you're told.
Mate, I don't like... I'm going to stop you, right? I don't like this, Stuart. I'm going to do the song, but I need to... But I will do the song, but not because you've told me to.
Give the people what they want. It's not for me. It's for the listeners.
Friend of the show. I've forgotten his number, but it's a bass.
Number.
Whatever. Six.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Nigel asks, what colour do you think next season's away shirt will be? Will we see Stuart Watson's hope of yellow and blue trim? He says he loves the 76-77 retro shirt currently available in the club shop. What are we on the colour wheel? I've lost track.
Oh, I feel it's been a while. When was the last orange one was relegation? They should bring that black one that they've had. I think the thing is, actually, I think this is the last year of the Adidas deal, isn't it? So don't even know who's going to be making them. But the black one, bring the one that the third kit that they've worn this year, bring that back as an away. Is that exciting enough?
Well, everyone seems to like that black and grey third kit at the moment. Have we got an update on that? Have you got your grubby mitts on one?
It's proving difficult. That's all I'll say. Okay. I will not be stopped, but it's proving tough.
Where do you both stand on yellow coming back? I love that kit. I've never made any secret of the fact that yellow with plenty of blue trim, no green in sight, it's part of the club's history. Ipswich have had yellow in it. You can go back and look at, you know, Beattie and Mills and co all wearing that shirt. I know I'm in a minority here. How do you two feel about it?
I love the shirt. The aesthetically, blue and yellow is great. Like slightly more blue than yellow, but like Boca Juniors, brilliant. Absolutely love that. I don't know. I just that feels like of its time. Ipswich wearing yellow feels 70s, and that's fine. I love that they've made a retro version. Have you got one?
No,
I might get you one.
Okay.
Seeing as you love it that much, I'll buy you your own.
I'll hold you to that.
Wow.
I've got...
Ross?
Well, if you think about it, the goalkeeping kit this year, one of them is yellow, and it looks actually really good. So I'm with you, Stu, really. I know it's controversial. Some of the Town fans go, no, we can't have yellow because of the rivalry, but no green involved, just yellow. Design it properly. I think it will look good.
Do you remember there was a game... Andy, were you there? I think it was up at Blackburn in the Championship a few years ago where there was a goal kit. The referee wasn't happy at the last minute that the Ipswich goalkeeper kit clashed with Blackburn's goalkeeper or something. He got a bit pedantic about what they were wearing and Ipswich had to kind of do a bit of a mishmash number and Bart had to wear the yellow top, but he had to wear the green shorts and socks and...
That was not a good look. I think that might have been the day that the Sunday Snap was born, potentially, because we just needed somewhere to write about that because it was that funny, hilarious.
R.I.P. the Sunday Snap.
Yeah, that's not coming back. You can make me sing all you want, but I'm afraid that's had its day.
Right, next up, mailbag, Steve Wallace. Asks, and we're on the shirt theme still here, what criteria does a shirt have to meet to make it onto Andy's Rail of Delights? And he wants a video covering your whole collection. Now, today, you're not in your usual spot, so we can't see the rail behind you. You're in your front room there, aren't you?
In the dining room. My wife's asleep upstairs. She's on nights at the moment. So I thought, because Stuart Watson's hosting, it's going to be an animated pod. He's going to need me to sing. She doesn't need to be woken up by that. So, yeah, I'm downstairs. So no shirts today. The Rail of Delight. Is that what it's called now? We'll give who's christened it that? I'm happy to go with it.
Steve Wallace.
Not Steve Waller, not our photography.
No.
Steve. Okay, different. Happy to go with that. Rail of Delight. I'm going to be bored. Just a vibe, mate. All you have to do, you have to be a vibesman. Ideally, you either need to be not an English football club, don't really have an interest in English football clubs. Interesting colours, interesting designs, not too expensive.
What's the most you've shelled out for a shirt?
Oh, nothing more than what would be like a standard retail price of a new one.
I won't tell your wife, be honest.
No, honestly, they're all picked up in sort of price reduction ways. Okay. Galatasaray, there's a Galatasaray one up there at the moment. £18. Thank you very much.
Thanks. I'll have two. We'll get Andy to do that video for you. I'll ask him very nicely. I'll see if he'll give you
It's not that good. It's not that good anymore. I sold loads of them, and I really regret doing it. This is when they lived in a box, so I sold absolutely loads of them, which I really regret.
Back to the football questions. Harvey Davies.
Such a power trip.
Wake your wife up.
Friend of the show.
Number something. Four,
I think it might have been number three. Maybe. Doesn't matter. The sweet Welsh prince.
Harvey asks, if Holy doesn't find a suitor this window, is there a possibility that Hladke is loaned out instead? Discuss. Ross?
Shaking your head? Can't see it. I think you always want to make sure you've got that solid number two. And who would we loan him out to? I know Salford would love to have him back, but I'm sure they've got a keeper. But not for me.
Nah, you've given him a kicking twice now, haven't you? You've dropped him once. You've then gone all out to sign the man that replaced him full time. If you then loan him out, I know you could do it with the best of intentions and say, we need you to play games, but he's played a decent amount of football in his career. I think if you want to keep him long-term, you have to keep him here, and you want your best backup for if Walton does get injured. If Christian Walton goes off injured in the fifth or sixth minute of a game, undoubtedly I would be preferring Hladke coming off the bench than Thomas Holy. So.
Yeah, no. Holy's gone, isn't he? Whether it's this month or whether it's in the summer, he's out of contract with no extension. I don't think I can't see a scenario where he's the substitute for the next 6 months and Hladke's away. And like you say, you can try and sell it to him the best way you can, but I'm not sure you can really dress it up that well. Unless, of course, he's really unhappy and pushing and is the sort of guy that's just like, I just want to play. Just let me go and play somewhere and we'll see what's happening. But I would say that's unlikely. But it's a good question, Harvey. FPL Tractor asks, Backinson, does he look like an Evans replacement / competition to you? Or could it spell the end for Carroll or, more controversially, Fraser? We kind of discussed this a little bit earlier on. But Fraser, is he in the danger zone this month?
Sadly, he could be, couldn't he? Because he hasn't been in the squads. And I'm saying this very heartfeltly because I like Fraser, but he's just played everywhere and he's just, it's been sad with Fraser.
Now he should be one that needs to be playing because he's what have we talked about, him being the sort of the most assisting player in League One. He should be wanting to play. He's come to Ipswich Town to play. So if he's not pushing for something this January, I'd be a little bit surprised.
Yeah, what a shame it's not really worked out for Scott Fraser so far, because you look at the way they played at Gillingham, Ipswich, and the way that 1-2 touch football, and Scott Fraser could look really good in that style of football, couldn't he? But it's just, where does he fit at the moment? And I guess he either plays in one of those sort of two central midfield spots, Or he's the number 10, but you've got Aluko and Selina sort of vying for that. And well, I don't think any of us have been sold on him sort of playing in one of those wide forward positions, have we, so far? So, yes, he's another one, a bit like Harper. No, it's not quite worked out, and it's going to be interesting to see how things panned out. The next piece of mailbag is more of a statement than a question. It comes from Julian Hill, and he says, Andy's trainers required on Saturday. Andy, will you wear them, yes or no?
It seems to me like you're telling me what to do today. So you tell me. what you've told me when to sing. You've told
it's not
me
for me. Look, I've told you this. It's the same when we interview managers. Sometimes managers get all caught up in the fact that it's a personal attack from the journalist asking the question. No, this is on behalf of the listeners. It's not about me. It's what the people want, and the people want you to wear the trainers. Ross, tell him.
You need to wear them, Andy. I'm sorry to say, it's a good, fashion statement as well.
Well, and as everybody knows,
come on, they're bloody awful. I was diplomatic about it last time. I'm not. I looked back at the picture of them. They're even worse than I remember. There's too many colours going on in there: brown, pink, blue, all sorts. But they're the good luck charm now, and you've got to wear them until
you are. You've answered my question. Well, they've already. Okay,
you didn't wear them when they lost.
It'll be like the white kit, won't it? If that got forced at Charlton, they forced themselves to wear the white kit unnecessarily, and they lost, and it's ruined forever. Now I see what you're trying to do. You're trying to pressure me into wearing the shoes. And if they lose at the weekend, what am I supposed to do with them then? Bin them? No chance.
I'll wear what I want. Okay. Final offering of mailbag is from Pablo Canuga. Canuga is his name. Pablo Canuga. And he asks...
Pro Evo version.
Yeah. What were some good Pro Evo names from back in the day? What was Van Nistelrooy? He had a good one, didn't he?
Wasn't it like Von Nistelboom or something?
I'm going to find some. While we discuss this question, I'll find some classics. He asks... Desert Island Discs. So one song you'd want to be cast away with. So I think what Pablo is saying here is you would have to listen to this song for the rest of your life and the only song ever. Ross, I think you've already thought of one, haven't you? I see.
Yeah, I'm currently really into my Rihanna at the moment. I've been listening to a lot of albums recently. It's not even a joke. This is serious. I've been enjoying listening to her in my office. And Diamonds, You Shine Like a Diamond in the Sky. Good tune. I'm happy to sing that as part of my karaoke song as well. Don't mind listening to that on repeat for the rest of my life. It's not that bad.
Just stumbled across some Rihanna. 2008 has come calling.
Pretty much. Yeah. Good. And the other song is I'm gonna swear here, but it's not a bad swear word. Bitch, better have my money. That's another good song.
Trust Ross to just lower the tone a little bit. Right, some Pro Evo names. Neil Lennon was Neil Lemon, classic. Rude von Mistelroom was his name. Frank de Boer was Frank de Mol. There were some good ones on there, wasn't there? The teams were the best ones, like Merseyside Blue and
Man United played at the Tradbrick Stadium. I remember that. Good times.
You got a song, Andy?
I feel like I've got one at the moment. My 3-year-old daughter is obsessed. If you think Rihanna's a wind back in time, right? Do you remember Junior Senior?
Stop
the bean, go. She is obsessed with it. Absolutely obsessed. We've listened to it. We listened to it 4 times before nursery this morning, dancing in the kitchen. So I feel like that is my forever song. But if you're asking, I'd probably go with Shores of Easy by Norwegian group Royksopp. It's 15 minutes long. It's very relaxing and it'll keep me calm for the rest of my life while... I'm probably in a bad situation if I'm having to listen to that for the rest of my life at all times, aren't I? So it will keep me calm. I'm not sure Bitch Better Give Me My Money is going to keep me as calm.
No.
Who's that by?
Rihanna.
Okay.
Okay.
That's why.
Just to round things off, I guess mine's probably more of a sentimental one. Mine is the Skyboat song, which is a bit of a Scottish folk song / lullaby, which is the intro music to the series Outlander. It's about the sort of the Jacobites up in Scotland, but it's my wife's favourite programme, and it's become the song that we sing to our daughter to get her off to sleep at night. So if I'm stranded there on my own, That would be the song that I would have to listen to. Right, there endeth mailbag, and we move on just like Ipswich do to Accrington Stanley.
Who are they?
Yes, you have to say that, contractually obliged.
Exactly.
thank you. At home at Portman Road on Saturday. Accrington Stanley, I feel like I want to say that they're a bogey team for Ipswich Town, because you think back to the FA Cup defeat in 2019. It was them that kind of put the first spoke in the wheels when Ipswich got off to that flying start following relegation. They lost there earlier this season as well. But in between all of that, they've had some decent wins against Accrington. I think both the games at Portman Road have ended in wins. I remember the 4-1 win under Paul Lambert. I think it was 2-0 at home against them last season. How do we feel about this game? They're coming into this, actually, having looked in a decent run of form. Accrington are being Accrington. They're mid-table. They're continue to sort of punch above their weight under John Coleman, don't they?
That was it. Unbeaten in five, something like that. Mm-hmm. It's not bad, is it? They certainly are punching above their weight. Feels like a very different proposition at Portman Road, though. It's not the Wham Stadium. It doesn't have the connotations to it. That being said, I don't see them being a pushover, but it doesn't feel in any way the same as trekking up to the Wham Stadium. You'd have to look at Ipswich for the win in this one. And this again, they have to win. We talked about Bolton being a learning opportunity. I want to see them get straight back on the horse in this one. It won't be easy, but I think ultimately they will.
It's now or never time, isn't it? I think Luke Wolfenden said that in his interview this week. We've said it quite a lot, but it really is now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think they need to. This is what they are, promotion rival, really, if you think about it, Accrington, because they're above us at the moment, aren't they? By like maybe a couple of points. So, yeah, if we lose against them, then yeah.
One place, 1 point above Ipswich in the table in 10th. As Andy referenced, they're unbeaten in five going into this one. They beat Bolton and Rotherham, which is no mean feat. And then they've just had three consecutive draws against Shrewsbury, MK Dons, and most recently Sunderland. Going a little bit further back, they beat Fleetwood 5-1, so they're in a decent run of form. But I did look at their fixtures. Seven of their last eight games have all been at home. They haven't done a lot of travelling. I think they've been to Shrewsbury and amongst all that, and that's it. So as much as we talk about it being a tough trip up to Accrington and a tough place to play, they probably feel the same about coming down to Portman Road and a big crowd here. It just feels like a different type of fixture completely. I don't know why. And also Ipswich have shown that they can do quite well against stylistically this type of opposition in Wickham and Gillingham recently, haven't they? So got to have a bit of hope going into this one. Like you say, they can get straight back on the horse.
Yeah, it's just, do you remember that Gladiators game, that round of Gladiators where they I can't remember what it was called, where they just had to run through Gauntlet, it was called, where there was like one gladiator after another just stopping you getting down a padded tunnel. Like Accrington are in that tunnel, aren't they? They're in between Ipswich and the playoffs. They have to get past Accrington. If you lose to Accrington at home, you're giving them another three points. It's getting very basic now in what they need to do. They can't do that to these teams.
Which gladiator is Accrington, Stanley, out of interest?
Punch above their weight. A bit of an all-rounder. I'm going to go Cobra.
Cobra. That's exactly who I was thinking of.
Well, there we are.
I don't know why.
Ross, do you have a clue what we're talking about?
I've heard of it, but yeah, I won't know how to. Yeah, I'm not going to get involved.
who's the Wolf of League One?
The Wolf of League One. Ooh, pantomime villain.
Yeah.
Ooh. Probably Steve Evans.
From an Ipswich perspective, I'd probably argue Wickham. They seem to have become, they're probably the Wolf of.
He's got the hair like Gareth Ainsworth.
There we go. Perfect.
Nailed it. Which one's on steroids?
Allegedly.
Well, I didn't say a name, did I? So
no.
Did you know that Wolf from Gladiator, his brother is a football journalist? You know that?
Yes, I've met him in the Playford Road press room. I can't I can't remember his name now.
Something Van Wick, Jim, I think his name right. is. Yeah. Good there time, you go. Sam.
Every day is a school day. Do you know what else we're going to bring back this week? £1 million picks. Why haven't we done it for so long? Where's your budget at? And do you want to spend some?
Yeah, we haven't done it because I went on holiday and then we just forgot. And the budget is at £800,000. So still not recovered from your ridiculous attempts to just ruin it. But getting there. And I am going to spend it. I'm going to spend £150,000 of it on this game on two separate little picks. And I've got Ipswich to score in both halves of the game. £100,000 on that wins £275. And then because I feel like it's coming, I feel like he's due this. Sam Morsy is due a goal. He's allowed to get forward a bit more. He really should have scored in that last home game when he laid it off to Chaplin to hit the post when he had a clear shot on goal himself and had a much better angle just to tuck it in the corner. So Sam Morsy to score any time in this game, £50,000 on that returns £425,000. And I'm going to keep betting on that until he does it.
I like that. That's a good shout. He set up Burns at Gillingham as well, didn't he, after getting into the box. He certainly seems to have a bit more license to join the attack. So, yes, I think that's a wise shout. What about team-wise? Do we think he's going to change much? It's been, certainly outfield-wise, it's been unchanged thus far. And why shouldn't it have been? But does anything change from Bolton to this one? Ross, you're shaking your head.
I'm just not sure who can come in, really. Who deserves, do you bring Connor Chaplin in, give him a start? I don't know, to be honest. I think it's a hard one at the moment.
There's some good energy from him, and I think him and Selena brought some good energy from the bench once they were 2-0 down, really, on Saturday. Like they're going to be in the equation. Norwood and Aluko, I want to say, were the two that were withdrawn for them. It'd be harsh to not give both of those another start, though. I think James Norwood in particular was on the fringes of everything at Bolton, but I think you'd be brave not to start him again. And Aluko's done enough to start again. So I don't know. I still think they're looking for something else on the left side, but I'm not sure they've got it in the squad. So, yeah, I think it's going to look quite similar again, if I'm honest.
Yeah, there's not probably any real question marks beyond that. The players that you'd think about, sort of ones that could come in and change the dynamic a bit, there's not really a door open for them, is there? You mentioned Selena, you mentioned Chaplin, who George Edmondson mentioned in that interview I did with him last week, that Connor Chaplin has made it quite clear that he's desperate to play and he's annoyed at not playing at the moment. But who drops out? Macaulay Bonn, you've worked so hard to get him to still be here to the end of the season. Norwood scored 4 in his last 6. Aluko's been one of the best players. So it's hard to see how any of those sort of front players get in at the moment, isn't it? Can't see Evans and Morsy changing, even if Backinson signs in time. Burns has to play on the right, because we've discussed that plenty of times. There's not really a viable change on the left. The only one, I would say, and this is a bit of a mystery, as to where Carl Edwards is at the moment. Could you see him coming in for Penny as a more offensive option on the left side of a four?
Yeah, I'd put Kane Vincent-Young replaced him at Bolton at the weekend, so you... I mean, we know that he's played left side and can get up and down and contribute, but I don't know. It feels like a bit of a leap for him to come in and do that at the moment. But Edwards is an interesting one, isn't it? Because he's definitely got the hustle. He's kind of got the energy to play that role. He's not a defender, but you don't necessarily need to be, particularly in a team that's got three centre-backs. Like, that's not your fundamental job, is not defend. You're providing the width. You have to do a bit of everything, but predominantly you're providing the width. So wouldn't be against that, but again, it's a big jump for him. He's just not been involved.
Probably going to be same again then, you would imagine, but you never know. We're still kind of working out Kieran McKenna, what he does. He still strikes me as someone that might just do something that feels completely left field at some stage when we least expect it. But whether that will be this weekend, I don't know. Should we end with some score predictions? How positive are we feeling going into this game? Are we going to get the win that's needed?
Yes. Already? Oh, that was a very long wind up for your nod, Russ. Take the head all the way back, thrust it forward. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I was sort of debating it could be a draw, but I've just seen, you know, Ross Sykes is suspended. He got sent off in the Sunderland game. I don't know if they've overturned that or not, but he is a big player for them. I'm in the back. So
literally.
Big boy Ross, my counterpart. So I'm gonna go for
he's not your counterpart.
No, very different. He's from Burnley. 3-0 win, why not?
A goal in each half, Sam Morsey to score one of the £1 million picks to come rolling in, Ipswich to win 2-0.
Nice. I like it. Yeah. 1-0 Ipswich I'm going for. Atkinson haven't conceded many goals. If you look back through that run recently that I described, it was 1-1 against Sunderland, 1-1 against MK Dons, 0-0 at Shrewsbury. They kept clean sheets in the wins against Rotherham and Bolton as well. So they're tough nuts to crack. Maybe got a little bit carried away with the 3-0 win prediction at Bolton last weekend, swept up in the euphoria of the first two McKenna wins. So I'll go for a slightly more pragmatic prediction of 1-0 to Ipswich Town. And I think everyone would snap your hands off for that. Just get a win and give yourselves a chance. But that's it for today. Any other business?
Is this dictatorship going to continue into podcasts next week, or how are we working from here on?
No, I'm sure Mark Keith will have a few things to say about this week when he's back from his holiday. So that'll be it. I'll be falling back into line next week. But it's been fun while it lasted.
I'm sure you'll be back again one day.
You're getting my voice, dude.
Good old Stuart Watson. Are you're not going to bother with any of the sponsorship plugs or anything like that?
No. Manscaped.com, KOA at the basket. Get yourself some stuff. See you later.
Crime to football, Brexit to football. For more great podcasts from Archon, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archon.
Archon. This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9-1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.